Welcome to the Nuts and Bolts podcast. On today's episode, we are discussing forging leaders, nature, nurture, or necessity. We have a very special guest, Troy Knight. He's a motivational speaker, coach, mentor, veteran, writer, publisher, butcher. Oh my gosh, and the list goes on and on and on.
Welcome to Nuts and Bolts, where your deep dive into the evolving trends of the construction world. Your champions for business owners, entrepreneurs, and women making their mark in the industry. Join your hosts, Sue and Scott, as we shape the future of construction one episode at a time.
We are very, very happy to have you on here, Troy, and welcome to the Nuts and Bolts podcast. Let's get stuck in.
Thank you for having me. That's a hell of an intro there. So I'm speechless.
Speechless.
So. I've got nothing to say from that.
So. Troy, you actually know Scotty from way back when. Scotty, do you want to touch on your relationship, I guess, with Troy and how it came to be?
Yeah, so Scott Challen from the QHI group here, and it's an absolute pleasure to be sitting here with my good friend Sue and our very special guest Troy Knight today. And yes, I do know Troy from many, many moons ago when we were much younger men, and I hate to go back too far back in time and give ages away here, but we were part of the Australian Defence Force back when some pivotal moments happened in worldwide events, and Troy and I served in the same unit in the Air Force. And through all those years and all the people and all the places that Troy has been, we've kind of watched your journey and you've watched my journey. And like most people in the Defence Force, you have friendships that last forever, and you might not see each other all the time, but you certainly keep in touch, don't you?
You certainly do. We've kept in touch for a while now, and we were just saying before, it's been probably 20 plus years since we've laid eyes on each other, and it's for the listeners out there, it's definitely not love eyes, like when I was sitting there being romantic with each other, but
I don't know. There was a nice little cuddle there to start with.
Yeah, it was there. It was there.
Talk about it's Benjamin Button. Look at you. You don't look like you've aged a bit, you know.
Troy did come in with a bag of goodies, and I must admit, the t-shirts, the coffee, the tequila, the hot sauce, and of course, this amazing signed copy of Troy's book, Havoc 06, A Combat Controller on Operations. Troy is a best-selling author, wrote this book, about three years ago now?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I think it got released.
And really took the Australian defence community by storm because everyone's read it. It's on every bookshelf I go to at every military museum anywhere in Australia. And everyone I know has mentioned the book and referenced the book. And you certainly launched yourself into stardom with this one, didn't you?
Yeah, stardom's that's a funny word,
mate. You're so humble, isn't it?
You're embarrassing me.
That's my job.
It was a bestseller but in its genre of military autobiography. So I was very lucky there. It was just telling a story that no one had ever told, and told a story of my personal journey as well, from the building sites, being a butcher as well, and then moving into the military and obviously deployments in the military. So,
Troy, did you ever think you'd be an author, a published author with a bestseller?
No. I always like to tell a story, and maybe ego is part of that. I like to be the center of attention. So telling a story, but I always looked at myself as, we look at medieval times, I always thought of myself as the village idiot or something like along those lines. Like, I like to make people laugh. It does something for me as well, whether it's a trait that I get to hide behind, but I do enjoy making people laugh. And if that's taking the piss out of myself, sorry for the language, but if that's taking the piss out of myself, then so be it.
One of the things you touch on in the book all the time is how your humour does take the piss out of yourself. And it's a great read for that reason. You never seem to take yourself too seriously.
Oh, no. I took myself seriously if we were going on to target later in life. When I say target, a mission which was kill or capture, I definitely took myself seriously because I didn't want any injuries to the guys to the left or right of me.
But
at the same time, I never took myself seriously.
What you seem to do is infuse a level of humour into the seriousness of those situations, though, where you can reflect on the smaller moments of the uncomfortableness of it or the difficulty of it and how tricky it might be, and then bring in that Aussie larrikin that our soldiers are so famous for, mate.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that's been brought up to me before. It's that Aussie larrikinism. I think I got that from my grandfather who fought in World War II over in Papua New Guinea. He was always the larrikin. And I think I just picked up a little bit off him.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a bit of a coping mechanism as well?
100%. 100%. I do think, for me personally, I have spent a number of years with a psychologist debriefing, obviously, you know, my inner thoughts and stuff like that. I'm not afraid to admit that. I spent 4 years with a psychologist, and she 100% said, she goes, that's your coping mechanism, is you have humor.
Yeah.
So
you came from a military family.
I did.
Troy and I could sit here and be the product of the system and the tip of the spear, but you grew up as a child in a house that was surrounded by guys like us, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it was back in my day, it was a little bit different back then in the armed forces and whatnot. And I had us children had a bit more rein around the barracks. Dad was in the army, so we were allowed to spend a bit more time, and they don't allow that anymore, obviously. They've tightened the restrictions. But yeah, so I grew up around that. That's exactly when I wasn't at school, I was in the barracks with Dad. And then I palmed off to whoever would take me on the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can see that in you now, because you've definitely got a bit of a drive about you, haven't you?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Did you ever wish to join the military?
No. I'm good.
I've only just met Sue, but got that cheeky grin about her that you can definitely see. Yeah, she's an army brat.
I can see her in an OACW uniform, to be honest with you.
No. Hey, talking about not taking things too seriously, and I do want to get stuck in and let's chat about leadership, but Troy, we do like to play a little bit of a game with our guests, and it's called Two Truths and a Lie.
Oh, we're going to play this straight up.
We're going to play it straight up.
I thought this was going to be towards the end.
We're in.
We're playing strip poker first.
Got the chili sauce out.
I've got to change one of my answers because...
Okay. You gave it away.
I just gave it away a little earlier.
Troy just slipped before that he has 5 children.
Yes.
And I guess that was going to be one of the...
That
one
was,
of the answers.
That was, yes.
So you've got about 10 seconds whilst I roll on to think of another question.
Punch on three.
So, Troy, tell us, 2 truths and a lie. You have to tell us 2 truths, 1 lie, and Scotty and I both have to guess
which
one's the lie. And this will be interesting because you've got a colourful background.
I do have a very colourful background.
So even Scotty was like, oh, I don't know whether I'm going to know this or not.
Like with the recon sniper days where we spent, it was a close-knit little section. So everyone knows everyone. I'm sure you remember a certain person bringing a TV in with some video footage.
There's some things we just shouldn't talk about.
But
someone reflecting on their Thailand holiday.
All right. Okay. So 2 truths and a lie.
Ping pong ball.
Wasn't one of us two, trust me.
I've been in a nightclub and met Eminem in Las Vegas. I've jumped out of a plane and had a malfunction and barely survived. And then the third one was going to be about my children, but I kind of wrecked that one. I've been shot and from a ricochet, and I've got a scar on my forehead from it.
And we can't see his forehead right
now. He's got a hat and glasses.
So one's a wrinkle, and then there's another one which might be a scar. Could be a wrinkle. Who knows?
Okay, so we had parachute not opening, pretty much.
Yep. Eminem encounter,
and shot hat.
I'm going to run with Eminem.
Yeah.
As the lie.
Because the other ones are quite plausible, right?
Yeah, totally, 100%.
I'm going to join you. We normally choose different ones, you and I, Scotty. I'm going to say Eminem is the lie as well.
And drum roll, insert.
You're listening to Nuts and Bolts Podcast with Sue Rogan and Scott Challen.
And you're both wrong. So I've met Eminem at Palms Casino in Las Vegas.
Okay.
He had one of his rappers rapping, and we had a table there when we were over there. His rapper was Yellow Dog or something like that. It was cool. The lie is the malfunction on the parachute.
Okay.
I've had over 1,100 jumps and I've never had a malfunction.
Yeah. Man, I've seen so much footage of your jumps, right? Figured at least something must have gone wrong once.
No. Well, that was always going to be in there, but I had to put in the Eminem one because obviously I gave away the other. Useless guest.
You definitely got us on that one. But I was explaining to you, Sue, before that when it came to playing this game, it was going to be tricky because you literally got married in Vegas on a whim.
I did.
Just a month or two ago?
Yeah.
By Elvis, right? You were telling me?
Yeah. And it was like a hangover style type.
It was. We went to Vegas for SHOT Show, like a big event. I was there for the company that I contract to, and we decided prior to going. So my wife is a full-time Queensland Police Service. She's a homicide detective here in Brisbane, and we're engaged. And we're getting a bit of pressure from family, and obviously I've got kids to my ex-wife, so there's a lot of pressure there. And I just said, well, we both just said, she might have had a few vodkas and I might have had a few tequilas that night. And we just said, let's just elope. And it was the best idea ever. And
we just
made it happen. And it was absolutely excellent. Like the Black Rifle Coffee guys were there, for anyone who knows coffee in the States.
And also knows the Black Rifle brand as well. Yeah. Like those guys are big, man.
Yeah, they're big in the States. So some of those guys were there. And it was just simple. It was simple and easy. So as opposed to paying, because we were looking at doing something, say, down the Hunter Valley or something like that. We're looking at $70,000 to get married.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's house deposit money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'd both rather spend the money elsewhere. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations, mate. And I'm sorry that we didn't pick the accurate one.
No.
I'm glad that you've survived all of your parachute encounters so far.
Yeah.
And I imagine some of them might have been from some ridiculously high levels carrying some ridiculous amounts of gear. So that's probably a whole nother episode unto itself.
Yeah, you're looking at commercial airline height with oxygen and stuff like that.
High altitude, low oxygen, proper halo stuff.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk today about leadership. We know that that's something that, for any of our listeners out there and our small business entrepreneurs and the community of people that we work with, leadership is something that we all think about every single day. Sue's a business owner. Mm-hmm. Troy's a business owner, post his military career. And of course, I'm a business owner as well. And we talk to business owners all day, every day. And I had someone explain to me the other day that being a business owner and trying to sleep at night is like trying to drink a Red Bull to relax. And it's just constant stress and pressure, because leadership is what you are as a business owner. You're leading people. And I think all three of us have experienced the best and worst of leaders and people that we've worked with over our times, whether it be in the military or in the civilian world as well. And Troy, you make a living now to some degree motivating and talking to leaders, right? And creating leaders. So do you think leaders can be made or are leaders born?
No, I think leaders can definitely be made. It's a bit of column A, column B. So yeah, definitely leaders are born, but I do think that later in life, people can be shaped to be a leader. They just need to have that open mind, have the application of what I call critical thinking. So teaching people how to think, not what to think. Mm. So it's like, and that's critical thinking. It's the same as, and if I put it in a military sense, it's the same as I bust into a room in a CQB environment or a hostage environment and I'm flooding the stronghold in order to protect a hostage. But I'm making that critical thought process there and then.
In a split second.
In a split second.
Like less than a fraction of a second. So that's life and death.
If people are telling me what to think in that, that's like saying I'm just firing multiple rounds coming through the door rather than making that, judging the person, judging the room. So it's hands, eyes, and judging the room. And that's done in point whatever of a second.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you got fractions of a second. We see this in sales, and I know it may not fit exactly right when it comes to clearing a room with live weapons, right? But you've got literally 3 seconds to make a good impression on a customer.
Exactly.
Your face says everything about you.
Exactly. Know. And then in the management leadership process, it's when we were talking offline before, it's that execution, because everyone who gets to middle management and above is hyper smart. So they can identify a solution to a problem, but it's the critical thinking side of things, and it's providing that execution. Like I said, you drop the hammer.
Yeah.
It's hammer down time.
Too many people get caught up in the textbook though, right?
Like exactly.
Without being able to execute.
Exactly.
I think I'm going to have to tend to agree with you as well, my perspective.
Shit, you're not meant to agree.
I thought you were supposed to be the antagonist.
I know. But I think you can have leadership qualities, but I think leaders are born. So you can be born with those qualities, but the skill is developed. It's like a muscle, right? Mm. You have to develop that skill exactly. to be a leader.
What comes first though? Good judgment or execution, the ability to execute? Because I mean, if I think about myself and without being selfish here, I've always been really good at executing, but shitty at good judgment. Like it took me many years to get good at judgment.
Yeah,
I'm the opposite. But I was really good at executing.
I'm the opposite. I'm good on judgment and then it's the execution. I get stuck in decision-making mode. You just need to make a split decision,
we'll
right?
We different comfort zones, yeah.
But I think judgment comes from your background, comes from everything from your growing up to your background. Like that's judgment.
Right? Yeah.
Execution is something that you and I were taught very easily.
Well, it's drilled into you.
It is.
The ability to execute and react is drilled into you. And I always think about this, right? I was thinking about it the other day, the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. An incredible war movie that we've pretty much everyone's seen, right? But the boat's hitting the beach on Omaha Beach there and the ramp goes down and suddenly the machine gun fire is just ripping everyone in the front of the boat apart, right? And everyone's just kind of like, oh God, what do I do? And suddenly Tom Hanks' character goes over the side, right? He's just over the side and he's reacting and leading, right? Because if you don't move, you're all going to die right here, right now, right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself that no one prepared him for that situation. His training and his judgment and his skill set that he developed over his time in the character of the film, and, you know, that story. We don't know if that moment's true or not, but right now I need to react and I have to make a split second decision here to save lives.
And then it's owning that decision as well, right?
100%.
And then I think that's
because the plan's all gone to shit. Yeah. That first bullet went down and everything went to shit.
I think that's why leaders like steer away from making decisions because then they have to own it, just to own whatever decision, whether you're right or wrong, whether it goes good or bad, make your decision and then learn from it. I know we spoke about that earlier about failing. You know, failing's not a bad thing. Like fail forward as long as you're learning from it.
Exactly. Fail forward. I like that.
Fail forward. Yeah, that's
right. I'm going to steal that from you, Sue, use that in my spiels.
Like your military career took you across a huge range of different branches of the military and you've experienced leaders of all different forces, different ranks, different international militaries as well, I imagine, through your work. What's one of the standouts that you've seen across those people that you've worked with as far as leadership qualities go?
The ability to back the troops, like it just, you might not necessarily agree with the situation, but you'll guide it in the right direction, but you'll back the people below you. And a massive shout out to him. He's currently the Deputy Chief of Air Force, Harvey Reynolds, at the moment.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast with him the other day, mate. Fantastic.
He was my original mentor. Besides Schultze, like leadership-wise, he was probably my original mentor, and it's pretty cool.
And he was one of the guys that initiated the JTAC role, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And sorry, for anyone that's listening, what was JTAC again, mate?
Joint Terminal Attack Controller.
Yep. Love those acronyms in the military.
Yeah. But he was, whilst I was 06, he was 01, so yeah, I've got nothing but
and ex-ADG Air Force as well, mate. Exactly. He was a Grand Defendo, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a Grand Defendo before.
So how important do you think mentorship is then? We talk about leadership, but having a mentor or being mentored or being a mentor?
I think it is very important. And this rolls over into any role. Take out of the military, like talk about the building industry.
Yeah.
If you've got someone there for the apprentice that can not just flog them into dead wood like we do with all the apprentices.
Not like when we did our apprenticeships back in the day.
No, when stuff's getting frozen.
You'll find a long way.
Stuff's getting frozen, left-handed screwdrivers and that stuff, and you sit there like going, I know this isn't real, but I'll play the game sort of thing. Anyway.
And these kids these days, mate, need so much hands-on mentoring, hey?
They do. Look, it is a different generation, but I think it should start from the get-go. Like my son, for instance, he's the youngest of the five and he won't listen to a word dad says, but he'll listen to everyone else.
Does anyone have kids who do listen?
I know. That's my kids.
That's a good question. Maybe it's a question for the viewers out there.
Let Scotty and I talk to him. Yeah. We'll be right.
You are your son's first mentor. If you're not your son's first mentor, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I think, going back to the original question, Sue, I think being – and the thing is with mentoring, you yourself should choose your mentor. Like, I don't think a mentor should be thrust upon you. Like, I don't think that's the way it should work. And I don't know the exact meaning of it, but I'm pretty sure you should choose your own mentor. So there should be people there that go, yep. You know, if you look at the building industry or anything like that, when you're getting to your fourth year stage or however it works these days, and you're starting to look at your project management side, like you're starting to look at being a tradesman and you're starting to look at that project management, there should be another person there to push you in the right direction. So that's the way it works for me.
Have you ever asked someone to be a mentor to you, or is it just something that's just fallen into place?
No, I've had people say, can you mentor this person?
Sure.
And I'm going, well, yeah.
What do they mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. What does it mean?
Does this person want me?
That's the big
one. Have they met me?
Well, so I've got a good friend who's still, he's about to discharge soon, but he was a combat controller. He's over in Perth now, the regiment over there attached. He's a combat controller looking after the Perth boys, like SASR. Yep. And he was my original protege. Mm-hmm. So he became Troy Jr. But I was forced upon him, and I said, look, dude, this isn't—
it's like a stepdad you don't want.
Yeah. I was like, I will teach you the ways, you know, the Jedi ways. You know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. I'll teach you how to get out of shit, basically. But I said, take out of it what you want to take out of it. I said, I'm not forcing my opinions on you. But we ended up gelling, and we're best— like, he's in my inner circle of best friends. Like, he's one of the senior guys now. And he said to me, he's like, mate, I couldn't have made it through those early days without you. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Understanding when to push yourself in front of people and knowing when to step away and let them come to you, that's part of that mentoring process, though, right? That's good leadership judgment unto itself.
Yeah, it worked out well. When we go over to WA, he's met my wife and we had good fun,
As a leader, you spend every minute second-guessing yourself and the decisions that you make constantly. But that's that striving for self-improvement and excellence.
And self-reflection.
And one of the things I pick up on a podcast of yours, or listen to Troy, is that you don't know what you don't know. And so it's a real big deal as a leader to go, do I have all the information to make a good decision, or am I going to exercise correct judgment here?
That's also the thing that, listening obviously to your podcast and knowing where you come from and stuff like that, to be a leader, you're making decisions, right, on people's livelihood. Like, there's people's family that you're making decisions on, people that have a family that they're paying a mortgage, they're doing stuff. So that is something totally different. Like, I've never had to do that, and hopefully I never will have to do that. So
I'll reflect back to this for a second. It's an excerpt from your book that I wanted to read, if that was all right, sir. Cleared hot, I transmitted. One away was the calm reply in my headset. You beauty, I thought, my first release. Still, I was shitting myself, hoping like all hell that I had provided the correct data to the aircrew, because with the GPS bomb, once it's off the rails, you've bought it and nothing could stop its now inexorable flight to its destination. You're making a decision about whether you are going to drop a bomb on the right people or not. And we can make a decision about, our employees or the insurance policy that we're going to take, or whether we're going to sign a contract with a client or not. But that's a decision right there that none of us have had to face with that type of pressure.
Hi guys, Sue Rogan from Elevate Construction Marketing. We are your digital marketing experts. Elevate Construction Marketing specializes in construction, trades and property. We offer digital marketing, social media marketing, videography, photography and anything that we can get our hands on to help support the construction and building industry. I'm super passionate about this. Having a digital marketing person that specializes in construction means that I understand what's going on in the industry. I've got credibility, and I also understand the advertising requirements. When it comes to the building and construction industry, there are specific advertising requirements that the QBC set out that you need to adhere to. And I will be able to guide you through that. So Sue Rogan, Elevate Construction Marketing, your digital marketing specialist in construction, trades and property.
You're bringing back memories now. I'm trying to fight back the emotion on that one.
It's a heck of an opening paragraph in an excellent novel. Where you touch on the decisions that you have to make in that moment and all the years of training that goes into that and the judgment that you have to exercise. Because in that position, you're going to do one of three things. That bomb's going to land in the middle of nowhere. It's going to hit the bad guys or it's going to hit the good guys. You know,
it hit the bad guys, that one.
Yep.
I was pretty lucky I hit bad guys with all my bombs and strafes and stuff like that, so...
Well, I can tell you.
Other people weren't so lucky in that, but yeah, it was just double checking. It was just.
As business owners, we don't always hit the right positions. I've made business decisions where I've lost money and I've lost employees and I've lost good customers.
Yeah.
I've had someone write a negative review.
Yeah.
I've had a negative review over the book. Trust me.
Yeah, that was your ex-wife.
That was the fifth child.
My negative review was actually a customer, not my ex-wife. But
we don't always make the right decisions. Like there's not always.
If you think about it, right, like the majority of the decisions I've made as a business owner, I'd say it's a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
You know, it's 50.
You know, talking about leadership, that's all right. So it's all right to make a wrong decision. It's, I suppose, the recognition, the after fact, where you can sit there and have the emotional intelligence, the EQ, as opposed to an IQ.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and go, all right, I could have done this better.
Yeah.
I can't teach EQ.
You can't teach EQ. It's one of those things.
As much as university tells you they'll prepare you for the modern world.
Well, it's one of those things. You can sit IQ tests, but there are EQ tests, but they aren't really, like, they're not accurate.
Yeah.
And it's up to, obviously, whomever, like the psychologist or whatever, deems it to be a certain way.
Have you ever done an IQ test, Sue?
I haven't, no.
Yeah.
Remember when we did them all for language course?
Because
I went away and did.
And I got on language course.
Yeah, so did I.
For Arabic, I think it was.
Oh, did you? Yeah. So you were smarter than me. So
I was hungover that day, mate.
So back in the day, we all went away to Anagra in barracks and we did IQ tests.
Okay.
So I.
Were you surprised? Yeah.
That we had to do an IQ test.
No,
I was. So I qualified for certain languages. The best language I qualified for was so Indonesian.
Say, let's break it down a second for us civvies, you know, civilians, that you go in and you do the IQ test to qualify for a language. What does that mean?
Which language you can learn based on how smart you are.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I got a level 3, which, so you would have got a level 4 or 5, which was higher than me.
Okay.
Because Arabic is higher than Indonesian. So I went away and did Indonesian down at the School of Langs that year. But it's an IQ test, but it's also a test to see how you pick up the English language, how you pick up a language. So I don't know how. But I went away and did Bahasa Indonesia, so language Indonesian. Cheated my way through the course. Could not.
It's not cheating.
Was it compulsory though? Like to do a language?
But when you're in the military, any course you can do is generally a good thing to do the majority of the time because it gets you out of the monotony of what you're doing back at the unit.
And then you want to take as much as you can get.
There's potential for more money, deployments.
And it helped me out with later in life when I lived in Indonesia and I said,
you also were part of the tsunami response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And so, Bandar Aceh.
Yeah. So.
Yes. I was listening to a podcast where you spoke about this when you went over to Indonesia and then the guy and yourself were on your podcast or on the podcast you were on were talking about. You went onto a Navy ship?
The USS Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, so you got a day pass and 2-day pass?
It was a 2-day pass, but we ended up staying there for 3 days.
Yes, yeah.
And we lived the life.
Great leadership. Yeah. Leadership breaking the rules there, Troy.
It was Epsy. Epsy?
He's a builder in Queensland.
Yeah,
and they kitted you out in your podcast. You were saying they kitted you out and they sent you back with like a...
We had hadn't showered in 2 weeks. Hadn't had fresh food, stayed on this ship, and then we did a courier takeoff.
How good.
And then we landed and we were just strutting as we were getting
off. Well fed, showered, clean, shaving.
And all the boys are just going,
So maybe if we relate that to leadership, it's the ability to pivot, right? We talk about pivoting a lot, you know, so see an opportunity and just go and run with it.
Well, especially in this economy now, right? Yeah. I mean, you think about your customers. I mean, you called me the other week and go, you know, how's things going for you? Because you had a couple of clients drop off.
Yeah, right? I did. Yeah. So it's like checking the temperature of the market as well. Always
constantly.
Like, are you finding this? Are we quiet? Or is this a me thing? You know, I've got a couple of clients that have dropped off for different reasons, by the way.
Yeah. And so then we start, and in the military, you might call it your ROE, right? Like we start going, well, what are we doing? Who are we targeting? What are we looking for here? What's the threat? What isn't the threat?
Yeah.
And as business owners, you're constantly looking for threats, constantly.
Yeah. That's one thing I've found about business is, someone's always looking to take advantage of you as well. So
you're always looking over your shoulder, mate.
Yeah, you've always got to look over your shoulder. And it's disappointing that way, considering where we come from. But
the story I heard about you where you just stood up in a firefight, mate, where I was reading your book and one of the guys had to knock you down and go, is that dumbass Raffy who decided to stand up without any cover in the middle of a gunfight? This is what leadership in business is like as well. You're standing up in the middle of a gunfight going, what am I meant to do right now, right? Where am I heading with these people here?
Yeah, it was dumb. Standing up in the firefight.
I love it. Let's just call it what it is. Yeah, all right. I own it. Like, you own it, right?
He wasn't pivoting. He was looking for direction.
At least he owns it. He's like, you know what? Yeah.
I had a set of laser range finders out, so binoculars basically with told me distance and direction, and I was looking for the team that got overrun.
So yeah, right.
I was trying to help a team. I didn't put my safety the foremost at the forefront.
So. Yeah. But one of the things that the ADF teaches you, and you would have seen this in your family as well, is the I'm bulletproof and it's not going to happen to me, but the rest of you around me, you're all buggered. that's how you think about it,
that's
right?
That's pretty much it.
So. Yeah.
Leadership in, I suppose, today's environment, especially in the construction industry, like, because I've looked at getting back into it, whether it be investment-wise, like I've spoken to people investment-wise, I've spoken to people that are still, they've reached out to me and said, look, can you project manage commercial things for me? And I'm like, I don't really know too much on the commercial side of things. I can project manage, that's easy enough. But it is a difficult forefront at the moment, I think. Like, yeah, we're only 2 years out of COVID, so there's limited logistics side of things. There's limited people that have got best practice down. And then even if they do, are you necessarily getting the right person? So it's a difficult thing. And everyone sits here and talks about the shortfall in housing and stuff like that. But there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's a multitude of reasons for that.
Yeah, go on,
Scotty. We can bang on about that.
Let him have it.
Yeah, nah, 125,000 migrants in 1 month. That's nothing to do with the housing crisis, trust me.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong here. Nothing to see.
We'll just let
everyone. Jog on.
Yeah, we'll just let everyone in.
We're not anti-immigration.
No. Hell no. Someone's got to make my kebabs at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Someone has to drive the Uber to get you.
That's a joke.
Of course that's a joke. Yeah, absolutely. The industry, as you said, though, is in a really weird phase, and you talk about opportunities to get back into it, and we are seeing so many people get out of it. 3,000 building companies are going under in the last 12 months. And we know we've got listeners out there that are in the grind right now doing 12-hour days and going home and doing the paperwork at night, and families that are under a lot of pressure right now. Yeah. We see that out there. And it's certainly a tough time to be in business, and certainly a tough time for the construction industry. But let's not forget, all of it was man-made. This whole scenario was created by somebody. And so somebody's to blame for that. And was it our leaders? Did our leaders get us to this point?
Yeah.
Or was it the managers?
Well, like, that's what I was going to say. Are they leading? Or are they just managing?
Yeah. You know,
that's the thing.
Can we look back at the last 4 years and say that good decisions were made, given the wash up now? You know.
Me personally, I'll come out and say it because I don't have a company, so it's easy for me.
We say it anyway. Don't worry about it.
We don't care. We offend you. Here's to my one star that's listening right now that also likes to remind me that she hates my podcast after every episode.
But as far as politics go, yeah, I think we've got a lot to blame on them. Yeah,
Were they leaders?
Are any politicians leaders?
The majority that I've met are nothing more than narcissistic snakes.
At the same time, to whinge about politics, the only person that's going to change politics is a politician, right? So, you know, we can say whatever we want, but it's not going to change a thing until you stand up and you put yourself. And realistically, like if you look at the way our system works, and I'm getting technical here, it's based on the Westminster system of the UK, House of Lords, House of Commons. We have a Senate and a House of Reps. The Senate is what gets shit done.
Yep. Lower house is just for gloss.
Exactly.
Well, you could call it the trough, actually, of swell.
If you want to do something. And state politics, council politics even, like being in the building industry, the council bylaws that I used to have to deal with up in Cairns were, I'm just going to swear, fucking painful. They were idiots. And they were made by idiots. Like the bylaws were made by idiots.
Were those idiots managers or leaders?
They were neither.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was someone who put their hands up. And I'm not being negative about anything because I always like to, I don't believe in negativity. I believe in positivity. And, you know, if you surround yourself with people that are positive and can provide that solution to the problem, that's that critical thinking that I was talking about earlier on. I think it's awesome.
And it comes into one of the topics we're actually going to touch on today is focusing on the bigger picture.
Oh, we're still touching on topics? I thought we were winding up.
We're doing really well.
I was giving them a big conclusion spiel.
We still got you for a few more minutes.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Stay with us, Troy. You're doing so good. Maybe we'll give him some chili sauce and get him parked up again.
Spice him up
a little.
Well, the tequila's over there.
No corks in the forehead today, so.
No corks in the forehead. Leave the carpet. We've just had it replaced.
No.
Focusing on the bigger picture during challenges. So that's kind of what that comes into as well is, it's really easy to fall into that negative trap. And I've seen it happen to people where everything's just too hard. The whole world's against them, you know. So it's actually harder than to stay like, I'm like you. I have a positive mindset. It's actually harder to stay positive and look at those outcomes. And
it's hard.
As you get older, though, you get cynical.
You
right?
do.
So you start looking at it and going, who the fuck came up with that idea?
You do get cynical.
Yeah.
I do, definitely. Like, I'll wake up and go, and I'll take a deep breath and I'll do a bit of breathing exercises and stuff like that.
I've got to deal with this place today.
And I'm like,
although I think as I get older, I create more boundaries. I create my boundaries easier and more often where I'm like, no, this is not taking up my space.
One of the things that we saw in the military regularly was decisions that we saw from leaders that where you'd scratch your head and go, that makes no sense. It's tactically stupid. It doesn't fit with anything at our level that we could see happening around us, but you can't question it.
Mm.
Your role is to go forth and do the job.
Yeah.
And it can be hard at troop level or at ground level to understand the bigger picture, right?
Yeah.
So bringing your people along for the ride is the biggest part of leadership, I reckon. And I'm constantly looking at that in my business as a CEO, your chief energy officer. You're investing to make sure that these people know what's going on. I think that's a better way to lead as opposed to you will do this, and don't ask me questions.
Do you do that from a leadership perspective, like the old mushroom effect? Kept in the dark, fed on shit sort of thing. But do you...
Oh, you know I can talk shit.
I was like, where is he going with this mushroom effect?
No, all your, like, people that work for you, you, like, keep them abreast of what's going
on. It's really, really hard to get everyone together at any one time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's 22 people in my office. We've got tradies on the road and all the rest of it. But what I find, right, is I can... This is the new way of doing leadership with technology, is I'll record a video while I'm driving and then put it in the Dropbox and then send everyone the link and here's my Monday motivation for everyone for this month. So I kick off my month with a video to the team because I can't get everyone in one room together, or I'll create a voice message where I'll send it out to one particular group of people. Yeah. So doing leadership remotely creates a completely different story now.
I wonder, it does pose a question.
Is that similar to what you do with your company?
So I guess I'm a bottom-up leader. You've got top-down leaders and bottom-up.
You like bottoms?
Hey, I'm a bottom-up leader where, as in, this is the rules and this is the way it goes. You know, it's more of a how can I help you and what do you need from me to make you do the best quality.
Is that leadership by consensus?
Maybe. I don't don't know.
Yeah. Probably. We want to ask people's opinions.
See, but this is all good information that I can use. Like, I'm going to steal a lot of this from my corporate speaking role.
It's all copyrighted, mate. We've already done
damn it. Intellectual property.
Yeah, it's IP. Yeah.
When I went from being the boss to having a leadership team, I found it really hard to adapt to being consultive, right? So in my world, I wanted to just go, you do this, you do that, you so do this. Well, here's the bigger picture. You know, use the SMEAC scenario.
Yeah.
Here's the situation, mission, execution, right? I followed those guidelines for years.
I still follow them.
Yeah, you know, we're going to do it this way, this way, and this way. And suddenly when you had a leadership team, it's like, okay, I've got to delegate to you to then convey to the rest of the team what that role we're trying to achieve here. You
know? How does it feel like I've had to do similar things and I don't have like a team per se, but letting go of that control, I suppose.
It's going to cost you money.
For me, I was like doing the robot walking in circles sort of thing, going, I don't really know what I'm doing here and this feels weird.
Welcome to our world, eh? That's what we do.
Yeah, how did it feel for you?
Look, the biggest thing about leadership when you're working with a leadership team is when you find a mistake that's been made, that you, if, especially in a role or a task that you would have previously managed yourself and it's cost you money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it costs you money because when you're a business owner, it's your money. I'm listening to you, talking to you guys out there right now. It's your money that's on the line here, you know, and it's a different game altogether when you're talking about someone spending
as well,
your money.
Not to play devil's advocate here, but then.
But that's what you want to do because I can see that cheeky
grin. The
cheeky grin in the in your eye.
I'm posing the question. This is not my personal opinion, just to get your thoughts on it. Are we giving people too much rope? Are we giving them too much say? Because that can be problematic too, right? Mm. You know, you need to give them a little bit, but then it still maintain some.
Opinions are like arseholes too. You know, like this is what I find when you do consensus leadership is that everyone's got an opinion, but it's not their money on the line.
That's right, yeah.
I don't think so. I think you're only going to get growth by building the people that work for you. So
when they let you down though.
Yeah, when they let you down, like I had a manager who ripped me off 20 plus grand.
Yeah, mate, I remember when you went through that a couple of years ago now, right?
Yeah, still.
And that was a pretty tough time for you.
Still can't get it back. He's ran away and hidden in.
You put a lot of trust in a person.
You put a lot of trust in a person because that's what I did from my military background. I looked to the person to the left and right, and you trust them in the military, you know. Mm. In the military, you know, I had Scotty to my right, so. Or left, whichever side he was on.
But you were with guys that you knew were trained like you were, that would react like you would.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah.
You could do that.
I adapted that methodology or ideology, I suppose. I adapted that into business and I got.
Your programming.
I got ripped off big time. So I lost 20 plus thousand.
Hard lesson.
Very
and that was
hard
when
lesson.
You were launching your brand, really,
it
too.
Was,
you know,
it
in
was
that transition
exactly.
period.
It
you
was,
know.
So.
I remember a lot of humbling posts online from you with regards to the damage that this had done to your brand and to your friendships. And
I paid back every cent that people had invested, bought the book and bought stuff that never came about. So I paid back every cent.
And just to put in there, folks, if you do buy the book online now, Havoc 06, we do recommend it highly. You will get the book.
Yes. Yes. And it's not going through a third party.
No. Troy manages all that stuff himself, and he does it very, very well. So. Hey, hard lesson though, right? Like, you know, do I trust someone or do I do this myself?
It's killer. It was a killer. So that's, I suppose, in leadership, especially leadership in business, you've got to, I suppose, do your due diligence and stuff like that. So that's where I fell down. I didn't do that.
You touched on that before, though, about the construction industry and it's hard to find people and the supply chains are stretched. And if you wanted to step into project management now, that means that your responsibility, you're responsible for someone else's fuck-ups, you know, and do you want that?
Yeah, and that's a big thing. So,
what's a big letdown you've had from people, Sue?
I mean, I've had a few from clients and whatnot. Like, I go above and beyond, and then those sort of things where they're not happy with what I do, or they say that they go into tit for tat, you know, that sort of thing, which is really disappointing. I think people are going to be like me and always highly moral and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So probably that hurts. And like I said before, that's why I kind of just set boundaries now and make sure everything's really transparent and. But it stings a bit, especially like when you first start your business and you want to go out and you want to prove yourself and you've got all this motivation and all this energy and I'm going to be the best, you know. And
then you have a customer tell you everything that's wrong with your company.
Yeah, and you just let down or taken advantage of, like you said. And it's hard.
Yeah, as long as you touched on it, the moral and ethical standards, like as long as you've got them. But I do have to ask one thing, and I go I see this with my wife in her job, and granted, it's a state job, she's in the police, but how is it for a woman in construction?
Oh, well, because I mean, how much time have we got?
Well, I'll start with the gender pay gap.
Let me just stretch my neck
a bit. So for all the listeners out there, Susie is stretching up. She's about to do some push-ups, and I think I might have unleashed a...
You know what? I'm so glad you asked that.
Well, I see.
Have you listened to any of our previous podcasts?
I have. Maybe that's why I asked the question. Maybe it's a loaded question.
It is.
Scott Challen from QHI National. If you've been walking outside your front door and thinking that you need a new carport, walking out the back door thinking you need a new deck or a patio, we are your company to call. QHI National, based in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, and a whole bunch of regionals in between. You can contact us. We will do you a fantastic proposal to improve your outdoor lifestyle. It's not too late. Save money now. Get in touch with us.
It's tough. It's really tough. I came from a background of being raised by men, by military men, and then being thrust into the construction industry at 18. So it's same, but different, as in the banter, and I can navigate males, you know. Sorry, guys. You can navigate you.
You never seem intimidated by
you.
We're not that hard a species to figure out. It's like boobs, bums,
food.
Yeah, food. Yeah. We're not that hard to figure out.
The ones that are coming through now are just more timid. They might not have that, you know, experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
as a tradie on a job
not
site.
As tradies,
you're talking about the girls,
we're talking about females.
Not everyone's a girl boss.
Yeah. So, and they're coming through a lot younger as well. We're seeing a lot of the younger high school girls too coming, okay, I want to do a trade
That's awesome.
Which is amazing. So, you know, I do a lot with NAWIC, National Association of Women in Construction, and it's more about supporting them and having...
So you just got bumped up the chain now.
I did. I'm so excited.
Oh.
Yeah.
National manager?
No.
You're the...
Queensland Project Coordinator.
For
the Women on Tools Committee, yeah.
I've got four daughters, so I've got a vested interest in all this.
So I mean, my role now is funded by Construction Skills Queensland, CSQ, but I have to plug that.
Plug them, they pay. Plug.
Thank you, CSQ.
Say it again. I didn't catch who they were.
But it's just all about providing resources and mentorship, like we talked about before, and had them having someone to go to. And I was talking to a young one the other day, and I think she's second or third year, and she wants to be a mentor because she was like, it's the little things that she didn't know about. So not only dealing with the males and whatever, you're sorry, guys, but what do I bring for lunch and what do I wear and what's my day going to look like and where can I go to the toilet, you know? And
yeah.
When we
had Amy Stanton on, the lady tradie, right? She's a mechanical plumber by trade. Yeah. There was no females on site when she did her trade as a plumber. There were just dudes, right? So her mentors in work were literally dudes, other plumbers.
And worked out all right?
Mate, and look, as she said, if she had a dollar for every time she could have quit, and she'd be rich, but she didn't. Yeah. She held it together and she pushed through.
I get a bit. I've
got to say, mate, your hands are quite silky smooth,
mate. It's the finer things in life when you get older. So
he's done his time. We have to give him due credit.
I get a mani and pedi.
A mani and a pedi.
I go out with my wife or my daughter.
Yeah,
when she comes over,
make sure you tip your mani and pedi lady well too.
Do you know the pedis? They're so good.
My 14-year-old daughter reckons the best thing she does is getting a pedi with dad.
Yeah. Get them as well.
Mate, I have to, but I've got dragon's feet, right? Like, seriously, if you don't look after those things, you look
I will go for a little petty day. We'll go off and get a petty.
Dude, it's not gay to petty, right?
They give me a glass of champagne, champagne, and I'm just sit there and
A foot scrub and everything.
That's what I need.
I must admit, I do like the little Asian ladies telling me my feet are massive.
But
so
to the girls, to the young women in your workplace, do they look for mentorship from another woman, or they're happy to, like, Scotty was saying before?
So everything that I do with National Association of Women in Construction, we have a mentoring program. So yes, they do look for mentors. But so it's not only about getting them into the construction industry, it's about retention as well. So like, how can we support these? Because it's happening, right? The women are coming. Like, that's it, guys.
You're not getting any argument from me. It's like, hell yeah.
Like, how can we support them and retain them? So what do we need to provide? So then we'll obviously receive scholarships and things from educational institutions to upskill and provide training and support. And
that's awesome.
Do you guys provide leadership training through NAWIC?
Yeah, definitely. I know QBCC provide, oh my gosh, you put me on the spot here, directors, Institute of Directors course.
Yeah, right.
So like there's high level stuff as well.
Hat goes backwards at a certain time.
Yeah.
That's when I'm getting serious.
He's getting ready to drop bombs here.
So just for our listeners at home, Troy's just flipped his hat backwards. I've looked over and yeah, we're on.
She can see the bullet.
No, well, this is a serious conversation. When the hat goes backwards, that's my little cue.
Yeah.
You might sound stupid, but that's my little cue.
Yeah, so there's a whole heap of resources in providing training and education.
So you don't have any daughters, do you?
No, two boys.
Two boys, yeah. Right? We've got 8 daughters between us, right? Yeah. Like, seriously, we think it was the radar out at the RAF base, mate. Yeah.
There's a thing. There's a thing
that, everyone we know through girls, right?
So. Yeah, well, Penny.
Yep, all girls. Yeah.
There's guys, I don't know how to put it politely, but it fries a certain thing in your genital region. And
yeah, so then your DNA just starts shooting out girls.
We just have girls. Okay. I managed one son.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was after I moved away from that area.
moved away from the radar. So, yeah. So we've always been big advocates for girls and ladies and women in construction because women are the future. But women lead differently to men too. I mean, I've worked for ladies before and had found it frustrating with the lack of decisiveness, the ability to drop a hammer, because they would think more about the emotional consequences of their decision as opposed to the strategic ones I'd found. And so you probably could probably explain that a little bit more in the way women lead differently to men.
Yeah. Oh,
100%.
Definitely. Yeah.
I've found, and I'll just add on to that. Sorry, Sue, before you
That's
get
all right.
to answer.
I'll catch you off in a second.
You just can't take me seriously with my hat back. All right, I'll turn it back around.
I'm just jealous.
Now we've got the half-ass Troy.
You should have bought it. You brought in T-shirts for us.
Well, I've got the Havoc hat, so yeah, I need to bring some in.
But anyway, back to it.
And I see it in the leadership side of things. It's women eat women. Like, it is fucking nasty. You will eat your own. And I'm just saying women in general. Like, I've seen it. Like, I think women lead better than men. Yeah.
Really?
But yeah, I do.
Interesting.
I do. Honestly think.
No, I like you, Troy. Really.
And that's, I'm not just sucking up. I just think they make an informative decision.
It's not the one's better or the other. It's your perception of it is that women do lead better than men.
I do. Yeah.
And even after all of your experience in combat, in the military, in your private life, in your personal life.
Well, I've never had a woman lead in combat, so it's different in that regard. But in the workplace, I honestly do think women, and I say they, like I'm not trying to be misogynistic or anything like that. I just think women make better decisions. They eat their own. Like, I've never seen so much aggression towards another woman. You put two women on par.
Yeah.
And they will destroy each other. Like, I've never seen that.
They set some strange standards for themselves.
And I see it with my wife in her job. She doesn't
The career of police.
But the career.
Yeah. Especially in homicide,
you see, yeah. And you see that senior sergeant, inspector level. And they will eat each other alive. Yep. Like, it is fucking brutal. Like, I sit there and go, holy fuck.
I used to see that in the military but I would call it career progression through character assassination.
Mm. Yeah, it's like watching a series of
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. That's exactly what it's. That's what I was thinking. I wanted you to say that.
I was thinking Game of Thrones more recently.
Well,
the female leaders in Game of Thrones, right? I'm just going to burn your city down with a dragon.
Yeah, that's what it's like. And I don't know if that's what you see, Sue, but women competing for the same position, I sit back and go, holy fuck.
So have you met any ladies that run construction companies?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do. Sorry, I had to think about that. I have a client that's a builder. It's her and her husband. She's a qualified builder and she's also a qualified interior designer. But she runs the show.
Yeah.
You know, and he just goes and builds it.
Yeah.
But it's her. She does all the designing,
but
planning.
But that's a partnership, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, interior designing, that's where it's at. Like, someone who can do the draft, the architecture of it all, that's Like building's the easy part. I can sit there and bang noggins in, you know, I can sit there and
That's why the block is a decoration show. It's not a building show, guys. Exactly. Like just in case you ever wondered, us builders sit back and go, yeah, that wall's shit.
Like, I can sit there and put a wall up and, you know, and put some noggins in and stuff like that. But it's the interior design. It's that design that the is finish. What wins.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So good leaders can be made, in your opinion. And we know from the military that they train leaders. NAWIC's involved heavily in training female leaders, leaders of the future.
Yeah.
We've touched on the fact that mentoring is a really important thing. And we've chosen mentors. We have mentors allocated to us, mentors by default. When I look back at my life, I realize that there's people that have been mentors to me that they wouldn't have known that they were mentors to me. And it occurred to me more recently in the last 4 or 5 years, especially, that I'm a mentor to people without realizing it as well.
Yep.
When people leave you in your business, you go, what have I done? What have I failed here? Because people will often leave because they may have another opportunity, but also they've lost confidence in the leadership as well. So then you question yourself again as a leader and as a mentor to people, hey?
Yes, certainly, yes.
We had a second year apprentice quit the other week.
Oh,
14 months in?
Why would you quit?
Why would you quit? Why would you quit? Now, Australia, 50,000 second and third year apprentices quit in the last 12 months. 50,000.
Not good enough?
Now, we have 338,000 apprentices in the country. I'm rolling these numbers off the top of my head. You can congratulate me for giving up alcohol this year.
Yeah.
338,000 apprentices this year. 50,000 of them quit at second and third year in the last 12 months.
Why? That's a good question, because I did my butcher apprenticeship before I did my carpenter and joinery.
And I must admit, I've seen Norm cut steaks up before, mate, and you do know how to cut a steak up.
I do. But I was clearing $105 a week.
Top dollars.
Back in the day.
I was on 127.
So that's back in the day. That's one of those back in the day stories. So obviously, rent was a bit cheaper. Fuel was definitely a lot cheaper, but I don't know. Is it?
What was his reason?
Look, he just didn't really give us a reason. He just decided it wasn't for him anymore. 14 months into his apprenticeship, so he's into his second year.
He would have been going to college, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was doing a block release for his education. So he would work with us, then he'd go away and do 2 weeks, and then come back.
Yep.
But 14 months in, he had to come back to work for one more day to meet the trainer on site from the Skills Academy thing and to sign off some of the competencies, and he wouldn't come back for one more day. Now, I've had a building company for 15 years, and we haven't finished one apprentice in 15 years.
Yeah, right.
Not one. Now, I don't know if I'm an arsehole. You'd probably all nod your head and agree. But the point is,
I think you'd be fairly easy to work for. I'd work for you.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. Adult apprenticeship coming your way. Now, we paid that apprentice as a labourer, not as an apprentice, to make sure that he had enough money to survive on as well, because the apprentice wages aren't great.
Yeah.
But what is it about the kids that can't commit and stick with it now? What sort of people are we building for the future?
Or are they being sold a dream? You know what I mean? Yeah. And this is what I talk about retention. Yeah. Like, are they thinking construction is one thing, and this is where we can help to navigate these issues?
Did you get him out of high school? Like, it was part of the high school
plan? No, he'd worked in-house renovation and restumping for a couple of years. So he'd already had time on the tools.
Yeah, see, that's...
And he just woke up one day and went, no, this is not for me, and we're going to roll. Yep. And so we're in a strange world. We've got kids that aren't progressing through their careers anymore. We're in a managerial class type leadership in our country. And I wouldn't even call it leadership. I'd call it management. And I guess there's a lot of lessons for us all to learn from that, eh?
Yeah, definitely. I don't have the answer. Yeah. I don't have the solution.
Yeah, I've got the solution. Put them all in the military for 2 years. It's as simple as that. I say we militarize the whole country. Has anyone seen Starship Troopers before?
Yes.
Citizenship through service.
As long as I can shower nude with. Is that too much for the podcast?
No, mate, you shower nude with whoever you want, brother. Listen, no, I know we have to wrap it up for time because we've been going on for a while here. So
we can sit here and talk to you all day.
This has been absolutely amazing. This is one of the best podcasts. Hopefully it turns out well.
Says that about our podcast. Hey, if you want to come on the podcast, we're a lot of fun.
All three of you listeners out there, including my one-star hater.
It's having a conversation, I enjoy.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, Troy, can you answer this question? Hey,
we can make it like that, Troy. We can do that next time.
Don't want it like that. I like the way it is.
That's not us.
Final thoughts, Sue?
Oh, gosh. Leaders are made. That's mine. You know, leadership is a made thing. You can have leadership skills or, you know, leadership traits, but I hand on my heart, think leadership is made. It's a muscle. You have to continue to work at it. You flex it. You know, I do like.
Got one favorite book that you would recommend to someone who wants to be a leader?
Harry Goes Six. Actually,
no, I'm joking.
Really quickly, on that note, guys, to our audience at home, we're going to do a giveaway. Troy has so kindly donated a book to us to do a little bit of a giveaway. So we're going to run a competition.
Yep. So if you want to win a copy of Havoc 06, if you're listening to this right now, if you jump on the Nuts and Bolts Facebook page, you'll see the post there relating to Havoc 06.
Yep.
And if you like and subscribe to the page and also write Havoc 06 in the comments on the post, you will go in the draw to win the
and
book.
And read this amazing book. And honestly, we'll put all of Troy's links on here as well. But there's thousands of them. Yeah, and you've got some incredible podcast that you've been on and some amazing things that you've done, and we just so appreciate your time today.
Nice. And Troy, I'll put that question to you, mate. What's one book other than your own that you'd recommend?
There is one by a guy called Dan Shillings, and he was a US combat controller, and he was involved in Mogadishu. So he wrote one about a
was he a ranger?
No, he was Air Force Combat Control.
Wow.
I caught up with him not long ago. He's written several books, so any one of his books is pretty good. He wrote one about, again, a US combat controller who won the Medal of Honor. So our equivalent of Victoria Cross.
And check that one out, guys. That sounds like a good read. And so amazing. Yours was the Havoc 06, or you got one other?
No, look, I'm going to go with Havoc 06 for the moment. I'm a hoarder. I read, I've got 3 books on the go at the moment. I don't know. Do you guys read multiple books at the same time?
Yeah, well, I read one, but I'm also listening to about 7 different audio books.
I do the same.
Yeah, so I've got 3 on the go at the moment. So to pick one, I don't have one.
Well, I just finished reading Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership, and I've got to tell you, that one, you know, and look, it was such a simple thing, and I didn't realize how much of it I actually knew, but I guess it was reinforcing it in a read that actually really pivoted me with me recently.
I read a good Aaron Sansoni. I don't know if you guys know Aaron Sansoni or not. So he's one of those big speakers and everything. I read one of his books, but he then goes into each person, each of the multimillionaires, journey, their own journeys, you know. So he touches on Elon Musk and how he got to where he is and all of that sort of stuff. So Aaron Sansoni's books probably.
Alrighty, guys. Okay. We'll see if we can't get Troy back on in our next round of episodes for the Nuts and Bolts podcast.
Thank you so much for listening today.
It was fun. It was pretty fun.
We do have fun.
Not pretty fun. It was fun. It was awesome. So
And guys, if you jump online, Havoc 06, you'll find links to Troy there. We'll put that in our socials as well. Please support Troy. He does a lot of work for the veteran community. Like, this guy has raised so much money and does so much to support the guys that have served for us and continue to support us, that you'd be doing him a favour by buying the book and also supporting the companies that he's affiliated with, the veteran-owned businesses as well.
Thanks very much, Scotty.
Yeah, mate, you're welcome. And of course, shout out to Gilberto from the Podcast Boss, who hosts us in his amazing Bowen Hill studios every week. And guys, I can say that if you are hesitant about doing a podcast, but you think you've got it in you to be able to do it, give Gilberto a jump on, check out the Podcast Boss, because this bloke will make you feel like a winner.
I know, and he laughs at our jokes.
Gilberto in the background, he's adjusting my microphone and he's telling me where to speak, and absolutely awesome.
So, and don't forget to check out Elevate Construction Marketing for all of your marketing requirements for your small to medium business, and Sue will get you sorted out as well. And if you need a patio, why don't you give me a call? We'll love you out, Sue. All right. Guys, thanks very much for the episode today.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us today on the Nuts and Bolts podcast. If you found value in our conversation, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate your support as it helps us reach more of our community. Keep up with us for more insights into the construction industry. And remember, together, we're building the future. Until next time.